we're continuing our series on emotions tonight. We have one more session on this series. Next week, we're going to be talking about turning our sadness into joy, because there has been so much sadness, especially over the last 2 years, and we really need that restoration of the joy of the Lord. Amen. But tonight, in our series, Emotions, How Are You Really Feeling? We're dealing with anger. Amen. And I think all of us get angry at some time. I can put up both hands and feet, because it happens. Amen. And we need to know how to deal with it in a way that honors God. Maybe some of you heard the news a few months back of how a woman shot up the drive-thru at a Tennessee Burger King because she felt it was taking too long to get her order. And that warranted taking out a gun and shooting at people. Can you imagine that? Unfortunately, nobody was injured. But stories like that are happening all too frequently. In fact, in 2021, police departments all across the United States are reporting a dramatic increase in violence, gun violence, violence on airplanes, spousal abuse. There is a dramatic increase in violence. One expert said that a lot of people have pent-up negative emotions due to the pandemic, upending their lives, political divisions, and social issues. They were in survival mode, so they subconsciously suppressed those feelings. But now that things are opening back up and they are re-engaging with people, they are on edge and they are easily triggered by the slightest irritation, and their emotions just erupt. That's an expert that's saying that. Some have said that we now find ourselves in the midst of an anger epidemic. So not a COVID epidemic, but an anger epidemic, and we're seeing signs of it everywhere. And of course, we all experience anger. I hope not to the degree of becoming violent, but anger can be a very powerful and overwhelming emotion. We can almost literally become consumed by anger, and it can be very dangerous and destructive if we allow our emotions to control us. So in this series on emotions, we've been looking at how Jesus experienced and expressed emotions, and today we're going to be looking at how Jesus dealt with anger in a couple of passages of Scripture. The first one is in the Gospel of John chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. The Scripture says, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." You know, Jesus had just recently started his public ministry, and he went to Jerusalem for the celebration of a holy feast, the Passover feast, one of the most sacred days of worship for the Jewish people. And Jewish pilgrims from all over came to Jerusalem. It was their central place of worship, and they came for the offering of sacrifices to worship the Lord. And as he entered the temple, Jesus and his disciples heard strange sounds. It was not the sounds of prayer. It was not the sounds of singing. It was not the sounds of worship. Instead, it was the sound of the bleeding of animals, the crashing of coins, and voices bargaining and bartering. Everywhere Jesus looked, he saw greedy men hawking sacrificial sheep, cattle, and doves, because the corrupt high priest had encouraged this flea market-like atmosphere by allowing the money changers and sacrifice sellers to operate in the temple for a percentage of their profits, of course. The disciples looked at Jesus. His eyes were smoldering. They had never seen Jesus like this before. He made a whip, and he began to shout, quoting Scripture, turning over tables, driving the merchants out of the house of God. My guess is that this is not the kind of Jesus that we usually think about, is it? But Jesus got angry too. And you know what? This wasn't an isolated incident. In fact, we find a second occasion he came and found the money changers and the sacrifice sellers in the temple again, and he did virtually the same thing. But there's another episode in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and we're going to read that as well. The scripture says another time he went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in what? In anger, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill him. Now, in each instance, we see a side of Jesus that doesn't generally fit with what we think we know about him. But the reality is, Jesus got angry. But then in Matthew 5, 21 through 22, Jesus says something like this. "You have heard it, your ancestors say, or you've heard it said, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who's angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." So how is it that Jesus compares anger to the sin of murder, and yet he himself got angry? Well, we know that Jesus was without sin. So the fact that he got angry and expressed anger means that there are right reasons to get angry, and there is a right way to express anger that is not sinful. So if we want to be like Jesus, we need to understand how Jesus wants us to behave in the time of anger and conflict. The first thing is that Jesus teaches us that we have the right to be angry. It said in the scripture verse that we just read, he looked around at them in anger. He looked around at them in anger. So one thing we see is that anger is universal, right? Jesus was angry at the Pharisees. He was angry at the hardness of their hearts. They didn't care that a miracle had just taken place. They didn't care that a suffering man had just been healed. Their number one concern was finding a reason to trap Jesus, to accuse Jesus. And they leapt on him when he healed somebody on the Sabbath. It was a violation of their law, so they thought. Jesus was not the only one angry, however. The Pharisees left that place very angry. They left in a murderous rage because the healing caused Jesus to rise in popularity with the people and threaten their positions of power. When Jesus looked at the Pharisees, he not only felt anger, but he also felt compassion. It was a broken-hearted anger that he had. In verse 5, it says, he was deeply distressed at their stubbornness of heart. He's angry, but there's a concern for them. That's why he's angry. He's concerned about their souls. His anger was righteous. It was justified. But the Pharisees, they felt angry at Jesus as well, but their anger was a murderous rage. They began to plot how they could kill him. Now, in the temple, Jesus was angry, and he was angry at them because they turned his father's house into a marketplace. God's house was supposed to be holy, the place where God's presence was manifest, but they had dishonored the house of God. They made it into a marketplace for profit and personal gain rather than treating it as a holy place for worship. Jesus was angry for the honor of God. But Jesus was not the only one angry that day. The religious leaders were furious that Jesus had shut down their profit-making racket. He was cutting into their bank accounts. And they demanded that he do a miracle to prove to them that he had authority to do what he did. Both Jesus and the Pharisees got angry. One type of anger, Jesus' anger, was righteous. The anger of the Pharisees was sinful, and we're going to look a little bit more deeply at that difference soon. But it shows the fact that we all feel anger at times, if we have any feelings at all, and we must all learn how to deal with our anger like Jesus. So anger is universal. Something else we need to see is that anger is amoral. Amoral. That means that it's neither right or wrong in and of itself. That's why Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. So anger in itself is not sinful. It's amoral. What makes anger right or wrong is the reason for which we get angry. Is it self-protection, self-preservation, selfishness, greed, self-centeredness? So what makes anger right or wrong is the reason for which we get angry and the way we express our anger. Jesus was righteous in his anger. It glorified God. The religious leaders were unrighteous in their anger, and it culminated in murder. There was a lady who for years walked in condemnation because she had been taught her whole life that it was sin to be angry and that Christians were never supposed to get angry. So because she got angry all the time, she felt, I could never be a Christian. Until she walked into a church one day and heard a sermon on Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. And she was amazed. And that night, she was freed from 20 years of anguish and condemnation. Be angry and sin not. It's not wrong to feel angry. In fact, sometimes it's necessary. But it's why we get angry and how we handle it, what we do with it, that matters. Jesus teaches us the right reasons to be angry. Jesus was angry. The Pharisees were angry. Jesus' anger was righteous. The Pharisees, unrighteous. What's the difference? Let's look at righteous anger. Most of the anger that we know, that we experience, and that we express is what type of anger? Righteous or unrighteous? Well, A plus for you all. Most of the anger that we know and experience is unrighteous. It's sinful. So we think that all anger is sinful, but the truth is that's not always the case. In fact, there are times when it would be wrong not to be angry. Whenever there's an injustice or there's evil going on around us, we should be angry. I was watching a fact-based dramatization of some battles or some incidences with the Holocaust the other day, and I found myself so angry inside of me at the diabolical hatred of Hitler to want to exterminate an entire people, God's people, and I was feeling that anger inside. And you know what? I believe that that's justified anger. That's justified anger. When people are oppressed, mistreated, and exploited, or if the name of God is dishonored, it should make us indignant. There's something wrong with us if we can witness evil and injustice and the dishonoring of God and not be vexed in our soul. Jesus shows us what righteous anger looks like. It is controlled. It is focused, and it is channeled into action to make wrongs right, to restore right, to help, to heal. It is not focused on destroying others or defending self. In fact, as we consider the life of Jesus, we see him attacked, accused, abused, and defamed. He's beaten and tortured to death. And the Bible says, like a sheep being led to slaughter, he opened not his mouth. What is it telling you? He never used anger to defend himself. Jesus only becomes angry in the defense of others and in the service of the honor of God. His anger is righteous, it's holy, and it's selfless. Is our anger righteous, holy, and selfless? Jesus never lost control. He never hurt anyone. Even the whip he used in the temple was made of soft stems. It wasn't to inflict pain, but it was to make his point. Also, that's righteous anger. Let's look at unrighteous anger. We tend to get angry when we feel offended on our own behalf. when we get frustrated because we feel that something or someone is standing in the way of our plans or our goals, or if we feel deprived of our rights or what we feel entitled to. That's when we get angry. Am I right? The anger of Jesus is so unlike the anger that we wrestle with most of the time. Our anger is usually selfish and oftentimes overwhelms and consumes us so that we express it in the wrong way because we allow our emotions to control us rather than allowing the Spirit to control us. And so we tend to express anger in one of two ways. Someone's called it spewing and stewing. That tends to be the way we express anger. Spewers explode on whoever is the source of their frustration. You don't have to say amen if that's you, but you can silently say, oh me. Spewers have a hot temper and they don't care how it hurts or who it hurts or what damage it does to the relationship. They just want to vent their feelings and deal with the fallout later on. Beware if you are a spewer. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man, quietly holds it back. So the fool vents his feelings, and the quiet man knows how to control his feelings. The wise man, knows how to control his feelings. So which are we? Which are we? So you can be a spewer or you can be a stewer. A stewer bottles up the anger. They try to suppress it, to bury it. They may seem like a self-controlled person, but this kind of person is smoldering inside. And the Bible has a warning for stewards as well. And we find it in Ephesians 4:26-27. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still stewing or while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. See, stewing is nursing our grievances. It's holding on to our offense, to our frustration. And it leads us into sin as surely as venting our anger can. Because when we stew, we are giving a foothold to the devil. We are giving a point of entry for Satan to come in and take territory in our life. And stewing poisons our relationships with unforgiveness. It leads us to resentment, to bitterness, and to hatred. And it can make us depressed as our internal world is disordered by our unresolved anger. Depression is often caused by anger that is being held in. Unrighteous anger was demonstrated by the Pharisees and the priests in their temple. Their anger was motivated purely by selfish reasons. Their interest was self-preservation. They wanted to protect their position, and they wanted to protect their profits from the selling of sacrifices and the exchange of money. And their anger eventually led them to kill Jesus. Now, most human anger is self-centered, and it breeds resentment and unforgiveness, which is then expressed in injurious words or destructive actions. That is unrighteous anger. Now, Jesus teaches us the right way to express anger in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus explained how his followers, all who sincerely want to be like Jesus, are to respond to difficult and offensive people. He says, first of all, avoid anger's destructive actions. You look at Matthew 5:22. You have heard it said, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. So see, he's talking about those injurious words that flow from anger when we talk to somebody in a way that dishonors them, that tears them down. And he says, you are in jeopardy of judgment. See, anger is the root cause of murder. Sinful anger expresses itself in the desire to hurt the other person so that they can feel how we have been hurt. Isn't that how we generally express anger? And according to Jesus, this is a violation of the sixth commandment. You don't have to shoot somebody or stab somebody. You don't have to kill somebody to violate the sixth commandment, Jesus said. He said, just getting angry and speaking destructive words, words that cut down. So we might not physically kill somebody, but we can murder their soul with hurtful words or attitudes. Doesn't the Bible say that the tongue has the power of life and death? So you can kill somebody's soul with your words, and you can kill their reputation with slander. Because isn't that sometimes what we do with our anger? We're so angry at somebody that we want to tell everybody how that person or how we think that person has hurt us or has wronged us so that we can get people on our side. So we go around and we slander them and we are killing their reputation. So we are guilty of this breaking the sixth commandment. So Jesus teaches that we got to get the heart right, got to get that anger out of our heart. And we have to apprehend anger's effect on our relationship with God. Jesus made it clear that our love of God is inseparable from the way that we treat people. I'm going to read from the Message Bible, Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. He says, this is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and are about to make an offering, and you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to this friend and make things right, and then and only then come back and work things out with God. Did you hear that? Jesus is saying you need to realize how your relationship with others impacts your relationship with God. And if there is some kind of breach in your personal relationships, then your worship is not acceptable to God. Go and fix it, and then come and fix your relationship with God, because something's wrong in your relationship with God for you to be acting that way. Come on now. I didn't say it. Jesus did. So if you're ready to stone somebody, don't throw them this way. Another principle Jesus gives us is that we are to agree with our adversary quickly. Matthew 5:25, agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. What Jesus is saying is resolve your offenses quickly, because the longer they are allowed to stew, the worse they get, and the greater the consequences. The greater the consequences. So seek to make peace as quickly as possible while you're still on the way. Before you've had time to ruminate and the other person has had time to ruminate, and then those ill feelings get so strong inside. Come on now. It's awful quiet in here, but it's true. A fourth principle, avoid a desire to get even. Matthew 5, 38 through 39. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. What? Did Jesus really say that? Those are some of the words of Jesus that we really don't like. But if you have one of those red letter Bibles, I bet you they're in red, because Jesus said it, whether we like it or not. Now, Jesus is not telling us to be a doormat, nor is he binding us to stay in a physically abusive situation that is injurious to our well-being. But instead, he's saying, when people make you angry, I want you to learn a new way of responding to them. Don't be eye for an eye, you did this to me, and I'm going to get back at you. Instead of reacting and hurting back, I want you to be self-controlled. I want you to show love and mercy and kindness even when somebody hurts you. Wow. You say, Pastor, that's hard. I know it is on our own, but if Jesus is living in me, then it is not I who live, but it is He who lives through me, and He will enable me to do it. Amen? In verses 43 and 46, he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. We don't mind that too much, but that's not what Jesus said. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the sinners or the tax collectors do the same? Wow. See, Jesus is saying, if you just love people that love you, then you're just like the world because they can do that. But if you're truly His follower, if you're a child of God and He's living inside of you, then you're going to be different. And you're going to treat people differently. This is what it means to be like Jesus, so that even from the cross, when beaten and mistreated, He never lashed out. And even from the cross, He prayed for those who were killing Him. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And let me tell you something. He said it right here. He says, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You cannot pray for somebody and hate them at the same time. Well, unless you try to pray one of those imprecatory prayers of David. Break their jaws, crush their bone. You know, but those were against God's enemies, not against ours. But sometimes we like to pray those prayers. But you cannot sincerely pray for somebody. And he's talking about praying blessing because he says, bless those who curse you. So you can't bless somebody in your prayers and say, God, bless them, Lord. Have mercy on them, God. You can't do that and have hatred and bitterness in your heart towards them. So he's telling you, do this so that you can release that offense. 2,000 years ago, Jesus showed us a completely new way of dealing with our feelings of anger. He was 100% human. He felt everything that we feel. And he was completely surrendered to the control of the Holy Spirit. And for that reason, although he was rejected, unjustly accused, terribly mistreated, and persecuted, he never sinned by expressing selfish anger or expressing his anger in destructive ways. In our anger, let us not sin. Let us daily choose to surrender to the Spirit's control and to commit to make every experience of frustration and conflict into an opportunity to become more like Jesus. Make me more like you, Jesus. So I want to ask you tonight, do you need God to help make you more like Jesus, especially in this area of anger? And you say, God, I want to respond more like Jesus in this area. Help me to bring my temperament under the control of the Holy Spirit so that I can respond more like Jesus. If that's you, would you just stand to your feet? And let's pray that prayer right now. I think we could all use some help in this area. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, myself included, Lord God, and we humble ourselves in your presence. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his example. Thank you for his teaching on how to deal with our anger. And thank you for the power and presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us that helps us to have control, Lord God. Father, we stand before you today and we say we need you in this area. We need your help because we get angry and a lot of times it is in a sinful way that we express it. And so we want to be like you, Jesus, so help change us and make us more like you, Lord God. And Father, we pray that we would live surrendered to your Holy Spirit every single day so that we would not allow our flesh to have control, but that your Spirit would have control, Lord God, so that our life would be marked by the fruit of love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience, faith, and self-control. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and we thank you for it, Lord. Amen, amen, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you on Sunday. Have a wonderful evening.